Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Anybody hearing a beep on the video cast? That's what I'm. That's the latest news that I'm getting here. I'm listening to my headphones. I'll tell you what, there could be one possible thing that's going on. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. The DDR was up. Is that it? The DDR was up.
What's the DDR?
The DDR is our video. It's our video player, and I had the volume up on it, and yeah, and the beeping is probably that damn fire thing. That see this fire thing? Yeah, like that. You know, if the beeping's gone now, yeah, it's okay. Sorry, guys. I haven't done that in a long time. And what happened was, and I'm just talking to the people who are viewing a video cast. I apologize, but I used to leave that DDR volume up all the time. It used to drive people crazy, and I finally have remembered most of the time to turn it down. But we had a situation with the Jack I Gagder Lions show tonight, whereby we had to do some manipulation with the audio. It's all a lot of very technical stuff. And anyway, Larry Grover back on the line with us. Okay, Larry, and let's just reboot, if you will, reset, if you will.
By the way, something's about to happen that I would like to just simply say, you know, Phil, in keeping with what you and I were talking about, I really wish the people of the East Coast the very best. Whatever this American can do, Larry Grover, and Mother, I know you feel the same way.
Phil, thank you, Larry. I wanted to say, Phil, to everyone, that Larry and I are committed to support all of America in whenever we have an emergency.
Exactly right.
And I love and support President Obama. I know Larry does, too.
I respect the president.
Are you wishing that the president fails here?
What do you mean, am I wishing the president failed?
Well, you remember when Rush Limbaugh said that he hopes the president fails.
I wasn't talking about this.
Oh, how do you know? He said that he wanted Obama to fail. Do you want him to fail? Me, Phil? Look at how I got little teeny weeny here. I got him all tongue-tied. And
would you mind giving me the phone back, Mother?
Oh, boy, she's really sticking it to you tonight, huh?
Yeah, what is that supposed to mean? She's sticking it to me. Did you hear what she just said?
Well, she made a pretty good point.
What point did she make?
She asked, do you want the president to fail?
Oh, give me a break. He wasn't talking about that.
Well, you know what, man? To hear the quote and to hear people talking about it afterwards, I don't know whether they... I don't know what they meant. If you're saying, now here's a picture on TV of President Obama and Governor Christie, and they're walking around and they're saying hello to people, and here's the president meeting the workers, and Governor Christie, I've got a nice 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, whenever you want to hear about it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Make fun of a guy's big, fat, you know...
Governor Christie's got a big ass on him.
Mother, would you please?
She's right. She's absolutely right. I'm not knocking the governor because I've been fat. And I'll tell you one thing, Governor Christie. When you're that fat, you don't want to be tucking your shirts in, brother. You just want to get that nice big balloon Hawaiian shirt.
Well, what's that going to look like on the governor of an American state to be walking around with a big balloon down Hawaiian shirt?
Well, what's it look like right now with him tucking that stuff in, man? You know?
Oh, okay, man. You know, we're talking here, Phil.
All right, let's get to the point. You want Governor Christie to succeed. I want Governor Christie to succeed. You want President Bush to fail.
No, I don't want him to fail.
That's what Limbaugh said, and that's what all you guys went, oh, well, oh, gosh, Rush. Everybody was agog and aghast and giggling and loving it.
Wait, we were not talking about that.
Well, I wouldn't know it. I mean, I didn't hear you guys differentiating anything. It's everything that this guy wants to do, bad for the country, you know.
All right, can we talk like adults?
Oh, now we're going to talk like adults. See, this is the thing with you guys. When I catch you in something, you want to talk like an adult. I'll be happy to talk like an adult.
All right, let me talk like an adult, okay? Let me talk like an adult. The president can aim a ray down onto the earth from the clouds.
Now, are we talking about like adults now?
Oh, okay. So, in other words, I'm talking like a goofball, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Larry loves to talk.
Mother, would you get off the extension?
I will not. I pay for the phone here. Larry loves to talk about outer space. That's all I want.
I'm not talking about outer space. What I'm talking about, Phil, is HARP. High altitude radioactive. I don't know the name of it exactly.
All right, well, we'll look somebody look it up, okay?
I'll look it up, Mr. Henry, and find out what it means.
Yeah, I'll look it up, too, just in case he doesn't know how to look it up.
I'll look it up just because, you know, I'll be like a fallback, third fallback.
Okay, great. So all three of you guys are looking it up?
Yes. What are we looking up?
Harp. H-A-R-P.
Well, it's an instrument you play.
Not the instrument. I'm talking about it's an acronym for...
Hey, how do you spell acronym?
Don't worry about it. Just look up harp. Don't ask me how to spell harp. Please, God, please, don't ask me how to spell harp.
How do you spell harp?
H-A-R-P. All right. That, you know, that's your crew, not my crew. I didn't do that to you. You did it to yourself. I am saying to you, Phil, very simply, all right? Oh, God, if I'm going to throw my guts right up out of my nose if I got to look one more second. Get it off the TV, Mother, please.
I will not. I think he's fascinating.
Get him off my TV, Mother.
All right, I'll go in the bedroom.
Yes.
What's going on?
He had Michael Moore on the TV. I won't look at that for one extra second.
All right, I got to hear from Dan. Thank you, Dan. HARP is a high-frequency active auroral research program.
What? That sounds like baloney.
That's what it is.
All right. Now, the high-frequency active auroral research program, is that what you said?
Yeah. You know, you're the guy that's talking about it. Don't you think you ought to know what it is?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, that I'm not up on everything the way you are. You know, I'm doing everything I can to try to save this country from another term with President Barack Hussein Obama. And
every time you guys use the middle name, it is such a glaring and childish ploy to somehow compare him to A, Saddam Hussein, B, an evil Mideasterner, a Muslim. You guys, even if the man isn't Muslim, you want to somehow position that in people's minds. You want to demonize the man for something that, quite frankly, he wasn't in control of, his own name.
Well, is that his name?
It's his name, yes. Yeah.
All right, well, I just...
Yeah, but when you guys use the middle name the way you use it...
Hey, excuse me for a minute. Didn't people say William Jefferson Clinton?
No.
No?
No, they called him Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but I mean, they...
They called him Bill Clinton, and they called him Ronald Reagan. I don't even know Ronald Reagan's middle name.
You don't know Ronald Reagan's middle name?
No, I don't. I can't remember what his middle name is.
It was Ronald Milhouse Reagan.
No, it wasn't. That was Nixon.
No, it was. That was Ronald.
I don't even know what Ronald Reagan's middle name was.
Let me talk now. Yeah, that's a very good point, Phil. No one, Ronald Reagan.
Did he have a middle name? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Did he?
Yeah, of course, he had a middle name.
Well, it wasn't Milhouse. That was Nixon.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. James Earl Carter. Gerald, I don't know what Gerald Ford, so they don't always use the middle name. No, they don't.
What about President Bush? George W. Bush.
I don't know whether that's the dad or the son.
Well, in any event, the point that I've been trying to make and that I've been told that I'm not allowed to make is the fact...
I haven't told you not to make a point.
Well, I'm saying that the high-altitude frequency aurora borealis, whatever the thing is, Obama can use that to manipulate weather. And why am I not allowed to at least say that it is a possibility that Obama used the high frequency beam or whatever it is to manipulate the weather?
You know, Larry...
Well, why not?
Okay, hold on. To say why couldn't he, or to say it's possible that they... Or to say it's within the realm of possibility that all of those phrases that are used by the conspiracy theorists to somehow purport to prove something, they mean nothing. It is not proof. It's not even evidence. It is the imagining of someone. It might be an imagining that I could share. It might be an imagining that I would think they need to be committed to a psychiatric hospital for. It might be an imagining that is within the realm of possibility. But it is not evidence. And this is the problem. We no longer have evidence. We just have some jackass's imaginings.
So that's what I am.
I'm sorry, Larry, but yes, that's what you are. To say, why couldn't Obama use this to manipulate the weather, therefore cause devastation, therefore, that's not proof. That's not even evidence. That is a fanciful statement, a provocative statement that is born of nothing more than prejudice.
Oh, so now you're saying I don't like blacks, is that it?
No, did I say that?
You said prejudice.
I'm talking about your prejudice against his presidency.
Let me have
it. You know what? I don't like being talked to like
that. Yeah, Phil, that's a good point. And Larry, you should grow up. Larry, get back on the phone with Phil.
No, I don't like being talked to that way.
Oh, brother.
He's crying.
He's crying.
I don't like it when people talk to me.
All right, Larry, I'm sorry that I talked to you mean, okay?
Stick it up your butt.
Stick it up my what?
Up your butt.
Okay, man. Feel good. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you don't care about me.
We'll take a break. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Is
Truth
that an adult
is
you
our
just
bitch.
Talked to? Or is that a,
yes, the Phil Henry Show.
And the mother is too?
Yes, the mother's an adult. What kind of question is that? All messed up tonight with our video cast. Anyway, welcome back to the show, world famous Phil Henry Show. Thanks a lot, Larry. I hope you recover.
That man has a mental problem.
Well, I mean, if you start coming up with rays coming from outer space.
That guy, not talking about ray from outer space. He's talking about the HARP program.
Well, what is that?
It's a program where the government is going to shoot a beam. They're good. If you should have been.
Will you take your fingers out of your nose?
Yeah, first step.
What?
You're going like that.
Sorry. But I mean, the government's going to shoot a beam into outer space, or not outer space, but. And then.
Put the paper down, man. Making too much noise.
Right. Oh, okay, Dad.
Well, you're making a lot of noise.
Okay, Dad. Should I call you Mom?
I'll call you. You call me Mom, man. You watch what? Well, I'll be your dad.
It's when outer space, when a beam gets shot up there to manipulate the weather.
What do you mean manipulate the weather? Is the government trying to do that?
The government's trying to find a way, if there's a drought or a storm or any bad weather or a bunch of tornadoes are attacking, that they can change it.
Well, I've heard of that. The government's been working on something like that for years. But that doesn't mean the government, that the President of the United States decides to, in a maniacal and diabolical manner, manipulate the beam to change weather so he gets reelected somehow.
Well, yeah, okay, if you want to believe that, but some of us are smarter than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, you said a magic word there.
I love that. Some of us are smarter than that. Oh, my God. Just because you're paranoid don't mean you're smart, bud. Just because you're dead set against a certain political ideology doesn't make you smart. You know, one of the problems with Michael Moore, is we were talking about Michael Moore. Michael Moore has become a brand. And what do I mean by brand? This is a word that gets kicked around a lot, you guys, in media today. You've heard the word. Everybody's a brand. Anyone that is in the media is a brand. Phil Henry's a brand. You know, I have a certain brand. I have my website. I have my radio show. You know.
You have us. Are we a brand?
Yeah, you're part of the brand. And there's and then there's the you know. So Michael Moore has a brand. Now, the problem with a guy like Moore, or, you know, let's use a guy on the right. I mean, if you want to use a guy on the right.
But Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I don't know if Glenn has a right-winger. He's, you know, people perceive him as the conservative. I don't know if it's such a brand that he couldn't change. I mean, I think what Glenn's done is he would if he became a liberal, it probably would be in keeping, you know. But let's, all right. But the point that I'm making here is that if you're a brand, how easy is it for you to change? Especially using a guy like Michael Moore is a better example because that guy is just anti everything that's conservative, all right? Even if he sounds like a moron, even like that stupid freaking movie he made, which everybody thought was just the height of genius, it was a piece of propaganda that the likes of which I haven't seen since that chick that made all those movies for Hitler when she used all that uplighting and could see all the hairs in his nose.
Marlene Dietrich?
Marlena Dietrich? No, the one that Lenny, what's her face?
Oh, Lenny Riefenstahl or something like that. Yes, yes.
I mean, Marlena Dietrich.
Marlena Dietrich was, you don't know who she was?
Yes, I know who she was. She didn't make movies. She was an actress. Anyway, yeah. So that's Michael Moore. He's like that, you know, he's a propagandist. And he made that stupid movie. But the point I'm making is he's got such a brand now. He is so entrenched in that brand that guy couldn't change his opinion. And become, there's no way. Even if he thought what he was saying was bullcrap, he can't change his opinion. He can't say it publicly.
Why can't Michael Moore is one of the great film... First of all, I think he's one of our great documentarians. Secondly...
Oh, you kidding me, Margaret.
No, I'm not. May I finish? May I finish?
Go ahead.
Michael Moore is one of our great documentarians. He has uncovered, I think, what is truly a layer of ossified conservative thinking, calcified conservative thinking.
What do you mean? Yeah, well, what do you mean about that?
Oh, my.
Would you take your fingers out of your nose?
Sorry, what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by what?
About it being ossified.
I mean paralyzed. I mean petrified. I mean turned to rock. And Michael Moore has shaken it up with some of the most groundbreaking and really thought-provoking documentaries that I've ever seen.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Lady Di, you know.
Excuse me?
Well, that I've ever seen.
Well.
God, Margaret.
That's all that Pat, that's a relaxed Pat Summerall school.
The Pat Summerall school? Boy, he'll love that.
The Pat Summerall school. You know, me giving a green light to you guys taking that Pat Summerall School of Broadcasting course, that's the worst decision I ever made.
Why would you say that?
Because that whole relaxed way, you know, that I've ever heard. It's almost like you're not even moving your lips, you know?
Yeah, you gotta learn how to move your lips more.
I'm gonna reach it.
Hey, watch it.
Throw a punch at him. So anyway, thank you very much for that opinion. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah, so President Obama and Governor Christie showing the better side of our nature, showing the angels of our nature, as Shakespeare or somebody once put it, Shakespeare or Jackie Collins, I don't know. In any event, the two of them, hand in hand, arms around each other, although it probably was tough for the president to get his arm around the governor more so than... You know.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
All right, I'm sorry. In any event, the president said if they need something, we figure out a way to get it. Obama said four states, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and West Virginia, had shouldered the worst of the storm, and the region's first priority was restoring power. About 5.9 million homes and businesses were without power on Wednesday, down from about 8.5 million at the height of the crisis. We're here for you, the president said. He was in hiking boots and Governor Christie in white sneakers.
And stretch pants.
The joke's with the fat, okay?
You were doing it.
Yeah, you were making jokes.
I wasn't making any jokes. I said that Governor Christie, if you ever want a 2,000 calorie a day diet, which, by the way, did I ever make my big announcement?
I think you did.
Well, I'm going to make it again. I hit 211 pounds. I may be at 210 pounds by now, most likely. I'm probably at 209 pounds, for all I know. And now I've got a big problem, and that is...
What are you going to do with all your stretch band pants?
I don't have any stretch band pants. As a matter of fact, the big pants that I was wearing back when I was 290, all of those have been thrown away. They're long gone. Now, I'm wearing belts with these 40-inch pants. There's no way that I can keep wearing these. I've got to go and get a new pair of pants. I got to get a whole new clothes now, you know.
Well, this is the time to go and get it because you're not going to lose any more weight, are you?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think that I... This is weird. I mean, I hope I'm not getting I don't think I'm anorexic, but I'm thinking I've gotten myself so used to this diet now that it's going to feel kind of bad going back on regular food, you know?
Oh, my God.
What?
You're going to start becoming like anorexia.
Yeah, man, you got to watch that.
What did I just get done telling you, man?
Yeah, but you're not going to eat like a normal person.
What's the matter?
You ever go to Big Daddy's?
Yes, we'll go back to Big Daddy's, of course, man.
What about, we gonna go back to In-N-Out?
We'll go back to In-N-Out, of course we will.
Okay.
God, you're all bawling about it. What's the matter, bud?
Well, I wanna go to Big Daddy.
We'll go to Big Daddy's, okay? We're gonna go to Big Daddy's.
What is Big Daddy's? I guess it's a hamburger place?
It's a great hamburger place, right down at the El Pacifico, man. Fantastic. Fantastic. I haven't been there in months. And they don't make a square hamburger, man. They make a hamburger... I can't even describe the hamburger they make, but it's square, but it's rectangle. It's like they got to put it in a rectangle bun. It's
what?
Yeah, it's like a big long rectangle hamburger. Fantastic with cheese and the fries. God, I miss it so, man. I can't believe that it was only March that I was a big fat pig, and now I'm like a normal guy again.
Well, you can tell Governor Christie for me No more Big Daddies.
All right, Governor Christie, no more Big Daddies, man, at least until you get it down to, at least you get yourself down to blimp size. I don't mean to make fun, but hey, you know, I've been there. Been there, done that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We had the storms, the storm updates for the cities and the urban areas, and there's all kinds of news here having to do with, like, New Jersey's barrier islands, and there's obviously there are stories having to do with the suburban areas around all of the major cities that were affected, whether it's D.C., whether it was New York, wherever. There's just a variety of ways of looking at this. And of course, we were talking with Larry Grover about the whole political aspect of this thing. But now there's the science. And what do we mean by the science? Well, we have people weighing in now on the global warming thing. Now, I have never denied in my life, I've never denied that there is a warming of the globe's, or there is a, I should say, a changing of the world or the globe's temperatures, the world globe, you know. I just have wanted to know more about the human effect.
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it, Phil, but you denied global warming, just like people thought the world was flat.
Oh, horse dung. I never did that. Come on.
What do you mean the world is flat? Nobody ever believed that.
Yes, they did. At one time, they did.
Yes, they did. And they denied that there was a flat world, just like you deny that there's global warming.
Prove it.
But don't say prove it. There is a change in the mean temperature of the Earth.
What do you mean temperature?
But talking about how bad it can get, right?
No, not to how bad it can get.
How mean it gets.
Not how mean it gets. I mean medium. I mean average.
Oh, my God.
Well, you talk about a mean temperature.
Like the mean. It's the median. I don't want to go any more explanation. Let's not get into an argument about global warming right now, please.
Well, you brought it up.
From the darkened living rooms of Lower Manhattan to the wave-battered shores of Lake Michigan, the question is occurring to millions of people at once. Did the enormous scale and damage from Hurricane Sandy have anything to do with climate change? Hesitantly, climate scientists offered an answer this week that is likely to satisfy no one, themselves included. They simply do not know for sure if the storm was caused or made worse by human-induced global warming. Now, I'm bringing this up because one of my close personal friends on Twitter, who I don't really know all that well, but anyway, they retweeted the following from Dr. Harvey Karp. Whoever he is, I don't know, but he said, quote, three of the biggest Manhattan floods since 1900 were in the last 2.5 years. Hmm. And the ice caps are melting. Hmm. No global warming, question mark? Really? Well, that's not science, Doc. That's you going, hmm.
Well, what does that mean, Phil? He's saying, well, you know.
No, I'm getting tired of that. You see, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting tired of all that, I'm getting tired of that, it stands to reason. I'm getting tired of people with their whole, well, doesn't it make sense that, especially if you're talking to some idiot on the internet, you know, doesn't it make sense? I'll tell you what, folks, here is surefire proof that whatever somebody is saying isn't true. If it's a guy on the internet and he starts off his comment with, well, it seems to make sense if, when that comment is used by someone who you are just chatting with on the internet, he's an idiot. Just take it from me, okay?
Why, have you done that?
Very good.
Yes, I have done that.
That was very good, Robert.
In any event, so the climate scientists offered an answer this week that's likely to satisfy no one. They do know, however, that the resulting storm surge along the Atlantic coast was almost certainly intensified by decades of sea level rise linked to human emissions of greenhouse gases. And they emphasize that Hurricane Sandy, whatever its causes, could be seen as a foretaste of trouble to come as the seas rise faster, the risks of climate change accumulate, and the political system fails to respond. The political system where? In America or in India?
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means. India, China, these countries are polluting monsters. They're big, fat, belching gas machines. The United States has this conversation with itself, this debate with itself, this argument with itself, this screaming, idiotic dialogue where we have people saying, you know, you should be thrown in jail for polluting too much. And over in China and India, they just keep right on belching that stuff out because they ain't got time for this bullcrap, in their opinion. They're not getting any global warming discussion. They got billions of people over there who have been waiting to live life, you know, live life on a large scale, man. They're not, they don't have, this is a great example, really, of the differences in human, in cultural evolution, where a one culture has evolved to a point where it can afford to have these nice little conversations about global warming and whether or not we should be farting as much as we do. And whether or not we should be painting the house blue as opposed to what would be the feng shui pink, or, you know, that's America. Because we got the time and we have the luxury and we've got it all going on. But in India and China, they look at us and they say, I want to live like that. Well, you see, you can't because you are belching too many. Don't give me that greenhouse gas jazz, man. You're not going to hold us back. So that's the argument, see?
Well, of course, they're entitled to live the life, the good life they've struggled for. So we should cut our emissions.
Of course, and let them keep on polluting, and somehow it will all even out. So you and I, we pay more. And the goal now, ladies and gentlemen, in the most undemocratic of fashions, I might add, is for Americans to be forced into a certain way of acting and living and being for the benefit of Chinese and Indians, because they've had it so bad for so long and we've had it so good for so long, so we have to be this way and they get to be that way. And I have not seen the world evolve, ladies and gentlemen, politically, militarily, or in any other way. I haven't seen the world evolve to that point where, yes, we all understand, America, it's your turn, and the world will all be happy and we'll all hold hands. That's bullcrap. The world doesn't exist in that reality. You know, we still have a planet that is fractured. We still have political systems that are at odds with each other. We still have political leaders who are completely unenlightened and murderous in some ways. And for us to think that we're going to make a sweetness and light statement by, oh, well, I tell you what, you guys, you just go ahead and you keep on belching out all those gases and America will cut it back and somehow we'll all be loved and it's all going to even out in the end. Hey, Jack, you know, you're on your own.
Well, then, Phil, we will continue to have this conflict. We will continue to see the world's people starve to death. And for what? So that Americans can, we can live a little less inside of our Cadillacs and a little more with a smaller and a more affordable car, so that we don't have to have those ridiculous light bulbs.
You know, and the other thing, let me just go back to the original, when this argument first started. We're really not talking about people, all people in America. We're really just and we're not talking about all people in China or India. The oligarchy, if you will, or the higher class people, the more entitled people, will always be flying their fuel-consuming and polluting jets.
Oh, here we go.
No. You know, I mean, if you want to say here we go, it's always going to be up to people like me and you and the rest of us to use the this and the that and to consume here and consume less there. And meanwhile, the people, the empowered, whether they are liberal or conservative, those people will keep on living the way they want to live, polluting, crapping where they want to crap, eating what they want to eat, stepping where they want to step, leaving whatever carbon footprint. And the carbon footprint of Michael Moore, even as he sits there.
Would you stop with your childish jokes?
Carbon footprint of Michael Moore.
God, man, spit it out.
I'm not joking. What kind of carbon footprint do you think Michael Moore leaves? I wouldn't even want to guess.
I think you're being a child, and it's typical of an individual like you, Phil. You don't have an argument.
I do have an argument. What kind of carbon footprint does a fat slob like that have? I just got done losing 90 pounds, or, well, okay, 70, well, 80 pounds. Okay? Fatso there, which, by the way, he does look skinnier.
He does look much thinner. He looks really good.
I think he's been at a fat farm in Florida, is that it?
Yeah, he went down to a fat farm down in Miami.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He's okay, but he's... Michael, if you ever... You and Governor Christie, the three of us, I will start the Phil Hendry Fat Camp for, you know, famous fat asses. How about that? The Phil Hendry PHP... Phil Hendry Fat Camp for famous fat asses.
And it all starts with a PH.
Exactly.
That is so tiring.
I don't care. I like it. It's my little personal imprimatur, if you will, okay? All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and so where was I? Oh, yeah, global warming. We're changing the environment. It's very clear, said Thomas R. Knutson, a research meteorologist with the government's Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory in Princeton, New Jersey. We're changing global temperature. We're changing atmospheric moisture. We're changing a lot of things. Humans are running this experiment, and we're not quite sure how it's going to turn out. By the time Hurricane Sandy hit the northeast coast on Monday, upending lives across the eastern half of the country, it had become a freakish hybrid of large late-season hurricane and a winter storm more typical of the middle latitudes. Though by no means unprecedented, that type of hybrid storm is rare enough that scientists have not studied whether it is likely to become more common in a warming climate. My profession hasn't done its homework, said Carrie A. Emanuel, a climate scientist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I think there's going to be a ton of papers that come out of this, but it's going to take a couple of years. So what they're saying there is this is a kind of a storm that they haven't yet done the research on, so they don't really know. Was this created by global warming, climate change? Is it something that will, because it has been created, that'll be affected negatively? Will warming temperatures make it worse, etc., or make it more common? Scientists note that a warmer atmosphere can hold more water vapor, which in principle supplies more energy for storms of all types. The statistics seem to show that certain types of weather extremes, notably heat waves and heavy downpours, are becoming more common. But how those general principles will influence hurricanes has long been a murky and contentious area of climate science. Most scientists expect that the number of Atlantic hurricanes will actually stay steady or decline in coming decades as the climate warms, but that the proportion of intense damaging storms is likely to rise. And why do they feel that way? Because that's what's been happening.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, that's exactly fair. I remember when they were saying there's going to be more hurricanes because of climate change. Now that we are not seeing an increase in the number of, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be just the same number. I'm sorry, man. I'm not saying that there isn't climate change. I'm not saying that at all. And at this particular point, I won't even deny that it is caused in some measure by humans. But don't start, laying every scientist you got in the world out in front of me with their paper of the week to tell me, here's how it is, this is how it is, that's how it's going to be, this is what's causing this, that's what's going to... I don't even know, to be honest with you, that this weather that we're experiencing, just as this article stated, that this weather causes this kind of weather, that this global climate change has caused really anything. We have evidence, and we can tie in certain things that have happened with certain other things, but we've also, in the past, have had evidence of all kinds of weather systems. We had a dust bowl in the 30s, for God's sakes. We had one of the hottest years on record was in the 20s. We've had melting ice caps since the 20s. We've had actual newspaper accounts of the ice caps melting as early as the 1920s. So what's that about?
Well, global warming must have started then.
All right, so global warming started when? With the Industrial Revolution?
Well, I don't know, but yes.
What do you mean? What? I thought they said it just started recently.
No. See, it's changing to, the arguments change to accommodate the other arguments. But now we're saying, you see, it's been going on since industrial, because we've had polar bears swimming for their lives in 1851. I don't know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, well, what about the polar bears swimming?
Bitch. What about the swimming
Phil
polar
Hendry
bears?
Show.
Why were there so many miles off the coast?
Polar bears can swim. Never mind.
about that. I never heard about...
You never heard about the Little Ice Age?
No, I didn't.
The Little Ice Age is also... The Little Ice Age was also a weather aberration, if you want to call it. A weather phenomenon, if you want to call it. A weather... an episode or an event. It was, in fact, a 200-year period. And, again, looking here on, as Bud calls it, Winklepedia, because it's a fairly well-sourced article here. The Little Ice Age was a period of cooling that occurred after the medieval warm period.
What do you mean a medieval warm period?
These are periods that scientists today have seen based upon the core samples taken from the Antarctic ice pack and the Arctic ice. Meaning you can go down deep into that ice because it's a wonderful virgin part of the earth that you can sample soil deep underground and ice. And I don't know, Antarctica, there's soil, and the polar ice cap is ice, but that can bring up samples from hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, and we can see the change in temperatures and the change in weather by analyzing this. The scientists have their way of analyzing it. I don't know what it is. What we do know is that there was a period called the Little Ice Age. Now, what do you want to tell me about that, Margaret? Was that caused by people?
Well, what, Phil? Don't be ridiculous. Of course there are cycles of weather. But what we're saying is that with the current global warming, there's a lot of human activity having to do with these carbon emissions that we know affect the temperatures of the Earth.
Well, now, wait a minute. We know that it affects the temperatures of the Earth. Do we know that has caused this period that we call global climate change, or this particular period of global climate change? Because we've had global climate change before. That's what I'm saying to you. Okay?
Well, no, what are you saying?
I'm saying we had a little ice age from 1650 to 1850, which has been documented by NASA and others, and it defines this term as a cold period between the years that I just mentioned. It's a cold interval. It is a lowering of the temperatures of the Earth. Now, what caused that? Too many sheep's taking a crap?
Don't be asinine.
Too many campfires? What?
No, there weren't too many campfires. There was a cyclical weather period.
Okay. Now we have modern times, and we're seeing all kinds of horrible stuff. And we're seeing storms, this, that. How do you know that that is not also a part of the wobbling Earth that we live on? The Earth shifting as it goes around the sun?
What do you mean wobbling?
The Earth, it's not always... We have this Earth that is changing its trajectory, or its face toward the sun, okay? So that the axis, the way it's facing the sun is changing, all right? So we know that the Earth is constantly shifting that way. And how do we know that that doesn't somehow affect weather and a million other things, okay?
Yeah, like the number of sheep that is taking it down. Yeah.
Shut up, you guys. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you guys talking about sheep taking dumps, all right?
I got a great idea. You know what you should do?
What's that?
Why don't you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, go to the bathroom.
So, in other words, me going to the bathroom and having to do what a lady does is the same as a sheep squatting in a pasture. I reject that.
No, just what you do.
Come here.
Hey.
No, I'm going to go outside. If you're man enough, you'll meet me outside 5 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Don't go, bud.
She's choosing me off.
I don't care if she is choosing you off. Don't go.
All right, then I'll use the toilet.
Go right ahead and use your toilet, Margaret.
It's not my toilet.
No, you're right, but it ought to be. We ought to put a plaque there, Margaret, that says the Margaret Gray Memorial Toilet.
Ha ha ha!
Yes, I hope you do.
Unreal, man. Okay, so anyway, guys, it's something to read up on. It's something to be mindful of. It's something to... You know, it's something to hang our hats on. Just like everything else, we always find, I think the human race is, especially Americans, we're always finding a solution. I know it's tough. We don't like having to pay more. We don't like having to be taxed more. We don't like having to do this and do that when we used to do this and that. And now we got to do it that way. We don't want to do it this way. We used to do it that way. Now we don't do it that way. We used to do it this way. Well, sometimes we just have to do what we do. But one of the things we always seem to find is a way to do it. And so it is on this day, the 1st of November, 2000, whatever the hell it is.
You ought to run for governor of New Jersey, Mr. Henry, you ain't fat enough. But
you're not fat enough, but you can gain the weight back.
No, I don't want to be governor of New Jersey, thank you very much. Just keep me in mind there, Governor Christie and Mr. Moore. I can bring the two of you guys together over a nice big bowl of romaine lettuce. So keep that in mind. It'll be to Phil Henry's Fat Farm for the famous and funky. The world famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry, and of course brought to you in living color here on Phil TV in HD. And don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy all of this groovy video that we do, and now available on your iPod, your iPad, your ePad, your
MaxiPad.
Anyway, we'll see you tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you. MaxiPad.
Phil Henry.